Father, we thank you that your word is alive. It's full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God, we ask you to teach us, lead us, guide us, and bring us into all truth. Cause us to understand, to comprehend what your word says so that we can use it for every part of our lives. We thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light, causing us to be able to receive things, to see things we never saw before. It's the revelation. It's the revealing of what was already there. It's nothing new, but it's new to us because it's from you, in Jesus' name. So we ask, God, that you reveal these things to us. Help us to be able to live according to what you're saying in your word. We cancel the assignment of the enemy. He comes immediately to steal the word, but he can't do so because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So we take authority over him and cancel his assignment to come and steal the word that is about to come to us in Jesus' name. And I decree that this word is going to the good ground to bring forth great fruit in abundance. I decree a thing, I call it done in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, hold your Bibles up. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the word of God says that I am. I have what the word of God says that I have. I can do what the word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of God's word on purpose. But I'm not just a hearer, I am also a doer of God's word. And because I'm a hearer and a doer, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Let me just deliver a little bit to you. We'll finish it off tonight. Let's go in our Bibles and take a look at a couple of different places that God has given us to be able to delve into today, because I want to make sure that if nothing more, you get the three things that God has for you to walk away with today. Say, I'm getting that. Say, I'm getting that. Now, I've already given to you that God is not looking for a personality or personalities. He is looking for obedience. I said, God is looking for obedience. You will win in life through obedience like nobody's business. If you learn obedience, please write that down. I must learn obedience. Write that down. A lot of times people are shocked to find out you've got to learn obedience. Obedience is not just something that jumps on a believer just because they got born again. You have to learn obedience. And we come out of a rebellious, stupid world that is built to make you a hero if you're rebellious and you go against authority and all that kind of thing. That will kick your rear end in the kingdom. God wants you to learn obedience. You are here to learn obedience. Sometimes God will allow you to go through things to learn obedience. Now, I will begin to give you three things that I ask you to write down that we're going to discuss. We began and we discussed in some ways that either you are pleasing God or you're saying, please God. That's tied to obedience. And a lot of times people wait until they got to plead for the Lord to help them to be able to say they got a relationship. Things shouldn't have to go bad for you to have a relationship with God. Oh, I'm going to say that again. Things shouldn't have to go bad for you to have a relationship with God. But for some people, that's the only way that they will really develop a serious relationship with God, and that's by allowing things to go bad. A lot of times through disobedience, just not being obedient to God, things just don't go right. I'm telling you now, if you are in this place right now, you are marked by God. This is not a place you fall into like a 7-Eleven store. You are here by special assignment, and I believe God got your attention to get you to come through those doors and come into this place and sit in these seats, which we have been praying over for the longest, for people that when they come here, that they would be able to receive from the Lord. You are here by special assignment. Did you get what I just said? Now, obedience is better than sacrifice. The Bible says that. I'm not going to deal with all of that today, but I want you to go to one scripture here
in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. Now, we looked at Psalms. We looked at Psalms last time I was ministering to you. We looked at Psalms 37:4, where it says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." In other words, if God is not a pain to you to serve, he will give you the desires of your heart. And I was explaining, he will give you the desires, and then he will give you the desires. God gives us a desire to do certain things, then he gives us the desire that we are desiring. I hope you're getting this. It's not a trick on words, because as we're learning here and we're studying about being able to be successful and how to receive in 2026, there's certain things we need to do. And today I want to give you three things based on obedience that you need to do to get your life going the way God would have you to go. Now, this is important. And I'm not shirking my responsibility when I tell you here in 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, it says a way to work this obedience. You have to learn how to work on obedience. This is not exciting, you know, things to learn. People want to learn about, you know, when do I get the money, and, you know, I don't have to be sick ever again, and I'm going to heaven and all that. Now, let's learn some obedience this morning. We have to learn obedience. It's like taking algebra. You got to get it to get out of high school. Okay, and if you go to college, I'm sorry, you too must take English 101 and 102. Yeah, if you go get that degree, I don't care if it's a degree in basket weaving, you got to take English 101, 102, you're going to have to take it. Okay, so there's just certain things. In order to be able to live a successful life in the kingdom of God, now listen to this, because Jesus, listen to what I'm saying. Jesus said, "I came to give you life, and that life to the full, to the overflowing, to where your life will overflow." You're supposed to be living an overflow life. And now, for some of us, that's too much. And that's fine. You take what you can. But we need to know that God wants you, he wants you to live a life of overflow. Now, obedience is important. How many have children in this place? Come on, put your hand up. Or grandchildren, put your hands up, okay? If they were not obedient to them, or to you rather, were you accommodating to them, or did you try to get their attention? I mean, did you try to get their attention? If they're not obedient to you, you have children right now. Some of you have some small children. You're trying to work with them on obedience. If I say something, you're supposed to do that. And a lot of times, you know, I've had my kids ask me, why? Okay, clean up your room. Why? Well, because I just thought about that you need to clean up your room. Why? Because I feel like the room's dirty. Why? I mean, you got to just come down to the point that you're just going to be obedient and stop trying to trip God up from what you need in your life. Obedience is good for you. I'll say it again. Obedience is good for you. And you all saying, yeah, okay, sure. All right. It says, come out from among them. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean thing or what is unclean, and I will receive you. Come out from among them. Now, we looked at some scriptures concerning Abraham. He was to be obedient to God and what God was leading him to do. Here, God is saying, come out from among them. The among them are sinful people, people in this world, people that we will emulate like this world. We ain't talking about come out from your mama's house. We ain't talking about come out from, you know, those that are obedient. We're not talking about come out from those that are trying to train you the things of God. We're talking about come out from among them in the world. Come out from those that will influence you concerning going back into this world, going back into sin. There are people that want you back to where you came from. They want you back drinking, smoke and reefer. Can I say that? You have to realize that God calls you out to bring you in. He wants to bring you into blessings, but he had to call you out. It's sort of like if you got your hand clenched, you can't get any more from anybody. You have to let go in order to receive. And if you're going to hang on to what you've been like, you'll never let go and become who you can become. So you got to come out. And this society of friends and likes and you know, acceptance and even the kids getting to where they get bullied online and all kinds of stupid stuff. People care so much about themselves. You got to come out of that. You got to come out of that. Your most important thing ain't your social media. If it is, you're probably very fleshly because you care about what people think. And see, you got to divorce yourself from what people, how are you going to please God when all you're trying to do is please people? And preachers can get into that. I mean, I know churches, there's some churches that put out a sign, we receive no offering. They ain't there no more. Because they didn't receive an offering. But they were trying to rent a building to have church in there. You're not going to help people by keeping them cursed. See, I'm not going to help you by telling you you don't need to tithe. Because the Bible says you're cursed with a curse. We have to be obedient. Now, I'm trying to help you. But one of the points of obedience is that you have to stop listening to knuckleheads. Okay, did I say that? Okay, you got to stop listening to people that's going to take you the wrong way. And we all have friends, relatives, acquaintances, coworkers that tell us stupid stuff. Okay, I got that. I was in the hospital, had two surgeries. Went in there just for gallbladder to find out I had problems with my pancreas also, almost pancreatitis, and was done with the surgeries, was groggy, still on oxycodone, and things were moving around in the room. It looked like demons were on the lamp in my room. You know, different people have different reactions to different chemicals. And so this stuff, I've never been the kind of person that can take chemicals in my body. My body is for the Lord. So anyhow, I'm sitting in the room and my wife is in there and I'm getting dressed to be able to leave that place. My son-in-law and my daughter is there. They're picking us up. They're going to drive us their car back and our car. I'm going to ride with Minister Terrell and Danae's going to have Ms. Shorter ride with her back from Vancouver, Washington, after the surgery, emergency surgeries. And this woman comes in and looks like a lady that helped when we started this church. And so there was a familiar face to me in my way of thinking while oxycodone out, okay? And she said, because they were done treating me, I'm putting my clothes on. She said, you know, my sister had ovarian cancer. And they gave her some medicine that really helped her. Would you like some? And my wife said, you don't need anything, Don. And I believe it was the Spirit of God talking to her. Some of you know this story. I said, I'll take whatever you got. Okay. And so she had me roll up my sleeve, put that stuff in my left arm, and that was it. I shouldn't have listened to her. I should have separated myself from what she was saying. I don't even know if she was a nurse. I don't know if she was a staff member. But I do know that as soon as I took that, within 3 to 4 hours, my liver was dying and my organs were shutting down. You had better know who you're running with. Some people you need to come out from. And because we can get messed up easy. Now, I gave you one thing That is, please God, or please God. Just please the Lord, or either you're going to be pleading to the Lord. Number two, concerning this, what to do in 2026, is learn obedience. I ask you to write that down. Please say this with me. Say, I'm in training. Say, I'm in training. We just used this the other day. Lady came to our table. You know, we eat out a lot. But came to our table, said, you know, we have free wine, this, that, the other. Would you like to be able to have some a drink along with your dinner? We said, I'm in training. Now, what am I in training for? I'm not going to the Olympics, okay, if y'all hadn't figured that out. Okay. I'm not going to do the pole vault. I'm not doing the 400. I'm not going to the Olympics, okay? But what I am in training for is heaven. And you should be too. But we have to learn obedience. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 8. Quickly now, we don't have much time. Hebrews, almost done. Hebrews 5 and 8. This is important. Put it on the board and let's go to 5 and 7 first. Let's see if we can get a hold of that. Let's go to 5 and 6. Okay, maybe we'll be happy there. Okay, we'll start there. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Here in the book of Hebrews, Paul is teaching the order that things were in. There was an order. There was an order of Melchizedek, which really ties to the order of Jesus Christ. And this has to do with Melchizedek receiving from Abraham the tithe. Now, continue here. I'm not going to go there with that. Who in the days of his flesh, speaking of Melchizedek, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, speaking of Abraham, continue, though he was a son, now speaking of Jesus, this is tied to Abraham and his obedience in giving his tithes or bringing his tithes to Melchizedek, but Jesus spent time agonizing over us. Yet he, even though he went through all that, even though Abraham went through all that, even though God used Jesus Christ as our priest to receive our tithes, as Melchizedek was used, he was a type of Christ, to receive Abraham's tithe, Jesus coming from heaven, yet he had to learn obedience by the things which he suffered. I said Jesus had to learn obedience. Not my will, yours. He could have been disobedient. He could have said, Lord, not my will, but your will. Abraham could have said, I don't want to see no guy by the name of Melchizedek that's supposed to be a type of Christ. I'm not going to bring my tithe after I've had this victory. Ooh. See, God gives us victories all the time. And we steal from God. It's a victory. You got paid Friday. You can act like you did it yourself. In my blood, sweat, and tears. But what about the breath that you breathe? There's folks that can't bleed, they can't sweat, and they can't cry. It's over. You need to give God some glory because every day he gives you a victory. I'm going to preach this because you need to be thankful, not just Pastor Sheldon because he's been 6.5 years in hell. You should be thankful. You may never go through any hard suffering, but Jesus, it says that though he was a son, that's not talking about Abraham. Capitalize S. Jesus was a son. Though he was a son, yet he learned, yet he had to learn, yet we need to learn obedience. In other words, one of the ways of learning obedience is that you practice it. Doctors, before they can be able to actually become fully authorized to operate in a hospital anyway by themselves, have to go through some kind of internship. They have to be around other doctors to learn the protocol. Now, they went through 8 years or even sometimes 10 years or 12 years of school, depending on the specialty. But they still have to now learn how to conduct themselves in a medical setting. So they've got to go through an internship. I dare say to you, being a Christian and getting ready to go to heaven is more complex than becoming a physician in America. You don't know what to do. We have to learn obedience. That's why the pastor tell you something and you buck, because you haven't learned obedience. I have leaders in this church. I want all the deacons and their wives to come up here. That's here. Get the ones out of children's church. I already told you we were going to do this. Come on up here. Come on up. All deacons and their wives. Even if you're upstairs, come on down. Children's church. Good. Tony's here. These are deacons and their wives. These are officers. These deacons, and we have one deaconess. Where is she at? There she is. Okay, she's on the end. These are officers in this church. There's only two offices in the church, the minister and the deacons. They have authority from me. I have authority from God that when they tell you something, they ain't playing. You don't punk them off. I'm doing some pastoring right now. You don't punk our deacons off. You obey these deacons. They are here for the people. They're here so that I can, the Bible says in Acts chapter 6, so that I can be able to pray and minister the word. They're here to wait on tables, to check it and see how you're doing in the hospital, to be able to see what's going on concerning you as you go out in the parking lot, see if, make sure you need any accommodations in this place. These people are appointed by God. God put them, every one of them, I don't care if you hate some of them. He put in my heart, these people had the character, the obedience to serve God under this ministry. And you need to obey them. You punk them off, you punk me off. You punk me off, you punk God off. And I ain't putting up with it. So if you can't take direction from these people in this church, I'm showing you who they are. You need to find something else to do. Because this ain't for you. Now, the next place you go to, they're going to have leaders. They may call them elders. And they're going to expect the same thing. Because I can't be where all these people can be. They're helping me. They are upholding the standards. We have a standard in this church. God called me to have a church of excellence and integrity through the word of God. And I'll be doggone, I'm going to change that and go to hell for you. We're going to do what God called us to do. Now, I've had some words about people bucking these folks. That's why I'm bringing them up. You can turn off live stream if you want to. I don't care. But maybe other churches need this anyhow. Other pastors need it. I have had words come to me that these men especially have been being punked off by some of the congregation members. You need to know, I ain't putting up with it. Call me mean, call me whatever. One thing you will call me in heaven when I'm done, because I'm getting in. I'm going to do what God called me to do. They are here to help you when you get that old funky report from the doctor. Say you got cancer. They're here to help. When you need gas, you need help with your car, you have a challenge with your marriage, they're here to help accommodate. They're here to feed you, bring the food, take care of all. These people are assigned by me, and I don't apologize. And you ought to receive them as officers in the church. They may not be fivefold ministry called people, but they are appointed by me by the direction of God. And we're going to get more of them. So that when people have a challenge, they got somebody to turn to. Because I'm not always available. I cannot do everything myself. And I'm not supposed to, or else we would have no word here. Because I would be too busy running around doing all the things that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and Walter makes 10. These people are doing 10 different people doing, they do multiple things. We need their help. I got a minute and 40 seconds. So learn how to be obedient to them, and then maybe you'll be obedient to God. I'll tell you like Apostle Price said, if you can't listen to what I'm telling you, and he would call people to put their toes up against the platform so he could minister healing to them and drive out cancer, phlebitis, and rheumatism and arthritis. He had a very strong calling on that. He said, now you won't even put your toes up against the platform so I don't have to fall off this thing. If you can't do that, how are you going to listen to God? You don't even see him. I'm standing to you and talking to you in living color. Why can't you just, I just asked you to put your toes up against the platform. And you're sitting there, I ask you not to put your purse where I'm going to trip on it. Put your purse right next to your leg. And you can't do that. You put it right up in front of me where I'm walking by, I can't even minister. How are you going to follow a God you can't see? You can't follow me that you can. And how are you going to follow Pastor Shorter when you can't assign follow the people that's assigned by him? And how are you going to follow me if you're going to punk them off? This is pastoring. Not many churches do this anymore, but I do. Because I'm going to give God the glory. And we're going to learn obedience up in here. You know what? Sometimes we grow up in a situation. Thank you. Give them another good hand. Sometimes we grow up in a situation where we live a rebellious life and nobody ever stops us. But it needs to stop now in the kingdom of God. I got 1 second. That's over. Close your Bibles. That's all I got time for. What was that again? I'm not giving you the third one today. That's next week. Okay. Next week. Well, you know, you probably won't get to it tonight. You all trying to tell me what to do with this? Yeah, I'm teaching obedience. And you can't even be obedient. You're going to sit there. And it starts with this rabble rouser on the front, you know? This son-in-law that I'm always, brother, you and I going to lunch, okay? Bring your boxing gloves. Next week we will. No, I'm supposed to promote this, so thank you. Next week we're going to deal with the success equation. There's an equation to success. I'm going to give you a formula for joy and happiness for you and God, okay? You're going to get a formula. Okay, something equals such. Okay, you're going to get in a formula. We're going to work that formula. But today, your assignment for next week, I got three things for you. Number one, be as truthful as possible, even if it hurts. This is how we get to obedience. Be as truthful as possible, even if it hurts. The Bible says, swear to your hurt. Tell the truth, even if it hurts. Stop being deceptive. This is a world where people are deceived. The Bible says they deceive, and they're being deceived. While you're deceiving other people, you're being deceived. Be truthful, even if it hurts. Swear to the hurt. I'm going to tell you the truth, even though it hurts to tell it. Number two, run with honest people. Don't hang with idiots that are not honest, straight-up people. I like straight-up people. I don't like to come into some surprise. I remember a young man that lied while I was a deacon at my dad's church. And he had told me, because I hired him, that he had graduated from the University of Washington. I told you this story, and he just lied. And I got up in front of the church because they were recognizing those that graduated from high school or college. And I said, well, you forgot somebody. And you forgot this young man right over here. I forget his name. You forgot him. I said, he graduated too. And my wife was going, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. I said, I'm not going to listen to her. What she's saying, I want to give this young man honor. And he was going, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. I said, what? Turned out he lied. He didn't only lie about that. I was having him deliver equipment for the state of Washington. I had a contract with the state of Washington to deliver all kinds of television equipment all over the state of Washington. That was the contract that we had. We were subcontracting with another large company up in Bellevue. And I hired him because he was out of prison. Gave him a job because he couldn't find one. Paid him well to just deliver the equipment. And after a while, after a few weeks of him working for me, I started getting contacts from my main contractor that I was subcontracting with.
And they said, where's the equipment? I said, what equipment? They said, where's the equipment? That's supposed to be here. It's 3 weeks late. I said, what equipment? We've delivered everything. I said, what's going on? So I turned to this young man. I said, you delivered all this equipment. He said, well, I said, let me call you back. I said, did you deliver this equipment or not? You lied to me. You lied to me. I found that out after I'd found out that he didn't graduate. I didn't graduate from the University of Washington. I don't care. Doesn't matter if you graduated or not, but don't lie about it. See, it don't matter if you graduated or not. Just say, I didn't graduate. Swear to your heart. So he lied. He wasn't honest. I had to fire him. And they wanted to sue me. They could have sued me. The state of Washington could have sued me for not performing that contract. State of Washington don't give a rip about you. They will sue you up and down. Had the main contractor, because I was a minority contractor with this large contractor, had I been with Proline, was the name of the company, I was a subcontractor. The guy was nice enough to say, man, listen, okay, well, I'm not going to do anything. We'll just order it again, pay for it again. I'm like, man. I looked at that guy and said, man, I can't run with you. You're not straight up. I can't pay you nothing, man. I can't do it. He ended up back in prison. I tried. So don't run with people that's not honest. Number three, make obedience to God and his leaders a lifelong study course for you. Make obedience, being obedient to God. See, we got to learn how to be obedient. How to be obedient, rather. And so make obedience to God and to his leaders. You can't be obedient to God if you're not obedient to the pastor. Now, if you got a pastor that's going to tell you to do stupid stuff, you're stupid anyhow for being there. You need to make sure that person is hearing from God. But if your pastor is going to tell you something to hurt you, it's going to come to haunt him eventually. I will tell you nothing that will hurt you, not knowingly. It says, make obedience to God. These are the things God gave me, the last one. Make obedience to God and his leaders a lifelong study course. So you never graduate from the course called obedience. Are we together on this? Praise God. And you know, with obedience has to come forgiveness, because sometimes we're disobedient. But we want to aim for obedience. Say amen to that. I think that's fair. Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to receive from you today in Jesus' name. Now I, for the second time, cancel the assignment of the enemy to steal this word. He will not do so. This word that has been received now, it's germinating. It's grown. It's already hit the soil. It is starting to sprout out now. I decree it. I see it. I see it growing. And with the obedience seed that's growing, blessings are coming as the fruit off that seed. God bless these people so much that it becomes almost embarrassing what happens with them. They have to become givers because you've given to them so much. God, if this is your word that I've preached, then confirm it with signs following. Allow them to be able to receive the blessings off the word that I preach. If this is your word, if this is the gospel, if this is the word, you confirm it with signs following. And we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said, amen. Come on, clap your hands, everybody. Shout it to God with a voice of triumph. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.